Appreciate everyone's attendance here this morning. Bear with me for the next 10 or 15 minutes. I want to call in remembrance some things that are portrayed in the New Testament. But we partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day in remembrance of that sacrifice that our Lord made on our behalf. We remember the body and the blood of our Savior and the prophecy, fulfillment in Isaiah 53. Throughout the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy unfold through the life and the death of Christ. The New Testament is in fact based on the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53. For a few minutes this morning, we want to examine a few of the scriptures in the New Testament related to the fulfillment of this prophecy that gives us life. 12 verses that tell the life and the death of Christ and the hope given mankind. In Isaiah 53:1, and you might want to just kind of stick your finger there because we're going to go back and forth. We're going to see it unfold, this prophecy unfold in the New Testament. Isaiah 53:1, he says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You turn to John 12:36, beginning in verse 36. John 12:36. "While you have light," he says, "believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Beginning in the second verse of Isaiah, he says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There is no beauty that we should desire him. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." In Matthew 27, beginning in verse 27, we read, "And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." In Isaiah 53:4, he says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him afflicted, esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." In Matthew 8:16, "When the eve was come, they brought unto him that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." And beginning in verse 5 of Isaiah, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 4, beginning in verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth, and when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unrighteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In verse 7 of Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and he openeth not his mouth. Matthew 26, verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And in Mark 15, verse 3, and the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And beginning in verse 8 of Isaiah 53, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. In John 1, verse 29, he says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. And again in Matthew 27, verse 57. And when the eve was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In John 1, verse 29, we read, The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And again in Acts 13, verse 38, Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And in Romans 5, verse 15, be not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. But not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For as by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and in the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In Matthew 27 and 38, we read, "And there were two thieves crucified him, one on the right hand and another on the left." Why is the fulfillment of the prophecy important to mankind today? It is the basis of our salvation, the basis of our hope, our redemption, and our eternal life with God. In Romans 3, verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report? No beauty that we should desire him, despised and rejected of men, esteemed him not, borne our griefs and sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, with his stripes we are healed. Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, oppressed and afflicted, yet openeth not his mouth. Made his grave with the wicked and rich, he had done no violence. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, shall make his soul an offering for sin. For his knowledge justify his many and bear their iniquities. Pour out his soul unto death, bear the sins of many, made intercession for the transgressions." In Acts 8, 27, verse 35, if you recall, this is where Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, and where he was reading was in Isaiah 53. The fulfillment of this prophecy is the foundation of Christian belief. All of our faith, our hope, our mercy is based on this fulfillment. When we remember Christ's sacrifice in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we also remember in the completion of the prophecy of God in Isaiah 53. This mercy is available to all who believe, who confess Christ as their Savior, repent, and is baptized for the remission of their sins. If there be any today that need the prayers of the church, we offer that time to come at this time.